The second reading comes from the book of Isaiah. It's chapter 40, verses 1 through 11, and then I'll read just a few verses out of the Gospel of Mark. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill made low, and uneven ground shall become level, and all the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people shall see it together. From the mouth of the Lord this has been spoken. A voice cries out, a voice says, cry out. And I say, what should I cry? For all the people are grass, and their consistency is like a flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, heralds of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good things. Lift it up, do not fear, says the cities of Judah. Say to them, here is your God. See, the Lord has come with might, and God's arm rules for him. His reward is with him, his recompense before him. God will feed his flock like a shepherd. God will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, gently lead the mother sheep. And then from Mark. In the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending a messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. I want to tell you a story about a family that had two ministers in it, imagine. And they were an interesting family. This family, I will admit that the pastors, the parents had started getting a little bit grumpy, and it wasn't even Halloween yet about Christmas. They were tired because it seemed like Christmas was owned by anyone but the church, by anyone than the faithful. There was a channel in their town that started playing Christmas carols 24 hours a day on Thanksgiving. Their neighbors started to put up their lights on their houses the day after Thanksgiving. It seemed like the stores and the shops were putting up Santa on Black Friday. They were ready for the season. And it seemed that the word of Santa or Christmas had become synonymous with the word sale. And so the parents said, we are going to get rid of it this year. They got the kids together and they said at the dining room table, we're not going to have a Christmas tree. We're not putting up any lights this year. We're going to make it simple. We're going to have the Advent wreath. That's okay. And you can imagine how thrilled the kids were. There was a unison of four pairs of eyes rolling at once. What I don't think those parents knew in some ways is they were going back to the roots of Presbyterians when this nation started. See, back then, Presbyterians didn't have Christmas trees. They would go to church on Christmas Day. They would have a meal together. they would read the Christmas story, and maybe, just maybe, there might be a small gift, something homemade for the children. And that was Christmas Day. The children in this story's family weren't thrilled with going back to their roots, and they said, at least can we have the crèche scene? Jesus is in that. And the parents were ready. They said, oh, yes, we're going to have the crèche scene, but each of you has to review one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and come up what we need in that Advent scene. And the kids said, okay. Well, the first child got up, and he had the Gospel of Matthew, and he had read through it, and he realized that it didn't have, it had a lot of the parts. So he said to her parents, I'm pretty sure we can use Mary and Joseph and the angel and all those things, but I read it, and I know it doesn't say there are three wise men, and it doesn't mention camels, but they had to get there somewhere. Can't we have the camels in the crèche? Parents said, okay. The older brother with an attitude said, can we put Herod in there too? And his parents said, no. The next child to get up there would have been the Gospel of Mark. It was that oldest son. And he said, no, 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 you go up in front of me. You go ahead. You do Luke. And the child had done well on that one, had read Luke and realized it started with this big old genealogy. So he had made a little cardboard book. And on the front of the book, it said, family tree. You opened it up. It said, Abraham, an arrow, and Jesus. Put that one down. It said, That's what I'm going to do. That's going to be mine. It's pretty good. And he wasn't finished then. Took out two Barbies, Ken and Barbie, and had put flour in their hair and said, oh, this is Zachariah and Elizabeth. They're old. And then he said, look, I have some cotton. We can make Elizabeth pregnant later on. Parents said, great. I mean, it was pretty good. And then the child who had gotten the Gospel of John, well, he said, thanks, Mom, thanks, Dad, because, you know, there's no mention of the baby Jesus in that one at all. But this child was ready, pulled out a light bulb, you know, one of the old ones that goes like this, and wrote four letters on it, W-O-R-D. For the Word was in God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the light comes into the world, and the darkness has not overcome it. Who, that was the best so far. And then the oldest child, the one who was voting for Herod, came up and said, well, actually, he didn't say anything. He went to his room and got this big old block box. You know, it was plastic. He kept his blocks in there from when he was a kid. And he went up to the crèche, and he started taking out the blocks and laying them in front of the crèche in a line. He used a ruler and started making it straight and just started lining it out. And he said, prepare the way of the Lord, make God's path straight. And he kept on laying it out. And then one by one, the family members came in and they started laying out their blocks. And no one said a word. And the middle child, he went and got his blocks and laid them out too. Beware, be awake, prepare the way of the Lord. It was simply an amazing moment. And that young person was so right. We are builders. And we are journeyers on this highway of God. This is the road that the prophet Isaiah talked about. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term. Her debt is paid. She has received from the Lord double for all her sins and forgiveness. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway of our God. Every valley shall be lifted up. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The uneven ground made plain. The rough places even. And then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed to all people. and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord, the prophet, has spoken." You may know that the prophet Isaiah was written to a people that were in exile from Jerusalem and Babylonia. It was a terrible place to be. And we learn earlier in Isaiah that they're in exile because of their own doings. They have not followed God's commandments or God's ways. They would not listen to warnings or pleadings from prophets like Isaiah. They didn't listen to other people before them. They turned their back on God and they chose their own way. Their actions condemned them, for they rebelled against God. They lived at the expense of neighbors. They put their own desires above the needs of others, and they were exiled. So how surprising, how wild, how radical it is to hear these words, "Be comforted. Be comforted, my people." Listen to words from Isaiah, of words that are spoken intimately, tender-heartedly, which means speaking to the heart. Come home. Come back. Your term is completed. Your penalty has been paid. It's not by your own actions that you're forgiven. It's out of love, out of grace, out of God's love for God's people. There's going to be a new highway made where all can travel on it safely. With those with the weak needs that need the help with the rails, those who run half marathons, all will be on this road. All will be transformed. It's an announcement of God's involvement in a new future. And the deepest comfort and the deepest joy comes from the power of God who will work in their midst, who works in our midst, proving and protecting and guiding us all with gentleness. See, John the Baptist knows Isaiah by heart. He quotes him. He makes it just a bit different. But he speaks words that speak to the heart of the people. He speaks to those who have wandered off the path yet again. Come, come, get back on the path. Get it right. Turn your life in the right direction. It's what John would call repentance. Seek the right direction. Seek a change. It's a chance to start over. Russell Levinson says it this way: "Now, the call to repent is simply an invitation to change the directions of our lives so they don't run contrary to the ways and the path of Christ. It's making straight the way through confession, through contrition, so that we can be closer to God. It doesn't always mean a 180-degree turn. It can just mean a small correction to the right or a small correction to the left. In the same time, even that little direction can radically change the consequences of our lives. If we're willing to admit that we've wandered off the path and offer ourselves to God, there may be a new thing in our lives. So awaken this second Advent, the longing for something new to happen. Begin to build the path of justice and hope in the world, like you're laying down those blocks one at a time, so all people are on God's road. I heard Dr. Warnick quoted today. He's the new pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. And he said, if you aren't in a church agitating the powers that be for justice and hope for all God's people, maybe you aren't being the church. Maybe you aren't really following the ways of Jesus. Are you laying down the rocks on that road? Are you doing a new path? Are you getting rid of the debris in your life? It's Advent. It's the season when you can call yourself back. Hear the word of God who speaks to us with comfort and tenderness and truth. This God born as a babe who changed the world then, who can still change the world, who might even change you, might even change grumpy old me. May it be so.